One day, we just may see where God has written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Pastor Ray Bentley paints the picture.
He says, come here, I want to show you something. You walk over and here's this beautiful book. And it says on the cover, the Book of Life. He opens the Book of Life through millions and millions of names. And there is your name written. It is the great secret for those who are in the family to know. Before you chose him, he chose you.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Salvation is a gift freely offered by God. Because of the Lord's death on the cross, we can have eternal life in heaven. But it's our choice. Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray says, it is our choice, but we'll see it's also the Lord's choice. We'll discover God chose us before the foundations of the world.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 8. This is has been described as kind of the Mount Everest of the Bible. And every chapter and every thought gets better and sweeter and grows. And so we're building here. In verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We know this. We don't always feel it. We don't always understand it, but we know. How do we know? We know because we know God. We know God and we're able to trust in him. We're able to place our faith in him. We know his character and that God is good and that God is loving and that God has a plan for my life and his plans are for good and not for evil. Therefore, we know by faith all things work together. And the Greek phrase work together is where we get our English word synergy. So there is this gathering of all these events and circumstances in my life. And God is involved in every single event in our lives. It's all part of a process. It's all part of a plan. Everything that comes to you in life has come through the filter of your Father in heaven and is touched with his loving design upon it for those who love God. So the question is, do you love God? And why do we love him? Because he first loved us. To those who are called according to his purpose. But now in verse 29, Paul adds to that wonderful and amazing truth. Another amazing truth. He says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. One of the great secrets of the Christian life is that God, foreknowing me, has predestined me. In other words, God has chosen me. And we find out that God chose me based upon his foreknowledge. Those of you that have opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you decided at some point to become a Christian. But guess what? God already foreknew you. God already predestined you. In essence, God chose you long before you ever chose him. So then the question becomes, how do I know if God has chosen me for salvation? How do I know if he knows me and has predestined me and chosen me for heaven? Well, here's the answer. If you will choose to repent of your sins and acknowledge that Jesus is who he claimed to be and open your heart and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Right now, guess what you'll discover? You'll discover that God already knew that. And having known that, he predestined you and he has called you. But if, on the other hand, you choose not to become a Christian and you refuse the witness of the Holy Spirit and you never open the door of your heart, well, unfortunately, sadly, regretfully, God will have known that also. So the ball, from the earthly standpoint, is really back in whose court? It's back in my court. If I choose the Lord, I'll find out God already knew that and he chose me before I chose him. If I choose not to, well, God would have known that as well. So look with me at verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. A lot of words. Well, we've talked about God's foreknowledge, his predetermining my destiny, which we have discovered is to be conformed into the image of Jesus, which is an amazing, marvelous, wonderful thing in itself. But those who are predestined are also called. What does that mean, called? It means that God has orchestrated and arranged the time and the place and the instruments of your salvation. But think about your own testimony. I wish we had time to listen to all the testimonies and ask all of the, I love, one of my favorite questions to ask Christians and people when I meet them is, how did you get saved? Tell me, what was it? And to listen, every story is special, every story is precious, and it is unique. Invariably, they'll begin describing circumstances in their life. Some were raised in a Christian home, but they didn't personalize it until years later. They fell away. Others, you discover, were not raised with any religious background, no training, no going to church whatsoever. They were taught even maybe to be an atheist or not to believe in God. And lo and behold, here they are, a believer. How did it happen? And invariably, they will say, there was this guy. And this guy was different. There was something about his life. It might have been some girl that you watched and you observed her life. She was not caught up with the things of the world and the outward show, but she had that inward quality, a quiet, meek spirit, a beautiful character that flowed from within and without. And you saw that and you wondered, where do you get your strength? Where do you get your peace? Why are you different? And they share their testimony with you. And so whatever the instruments were for your salvation, it might have been your parents, it might have been your grandparents, or a friend, or someone you don't even know. But what Paul is saying here is that even the instruments of your salvation in that calling where Jesus knocked on the door of your heart was prearranged, predestined, was no accident. This is all part of God's intricate, woven plan and purpose for your life. And those whom he called, everyone in a unique and special way, he also justified. I love that word justified. Earlier we saw in Romans that justified means declared righteous. In the eyes of God, you and I are declared righteous. I like another way of saying it. In the presence of God, it's just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we have the idea that, man, I've really blown it. I've really sinned, which we all have. And the Lord comes and erases it. It's as if it had never happened, never been done, never been committed, never been guilty, never been ashamed. Why? Because the righteousness that I receive is not mine. It is the righteousness of another that is so pressed into me that I and he have become one. And the one that I have become one with is Jesus. It is his righteousness that covers me and becomes now my character as I stand before God the Father in heaven. God will look at me, and when he sees me, Ray Bentley, he doesn't just see me, he sees his son Jesus. He sees the character of his son, sinless, blameless, pure, holy, unblameable in his sight, because I and Jesus have been made one. That's amazing. Those whom he foreknew, he also, as we see here, predestined. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And then finally, those whom he justified, these he also glorified. He glorified. Also, we are glorified. Wait a minute. This hasn't happened yet, has it? Am I glorified? Do I look glorified to you? No. Are you glorified? No. I've got the same body that I've always had. You've got the same body that you've had. When we are glorified, we'll shine like stars. So I have to ask a question. Did Paul make a mistake? Now, I know I've been justified because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, but I'm not glorified. Wouldn't he have been more accurate to say, and will be one day glorified? Let me explain it this way. God is big. The Bible says he is so big that he spans the universe. We cannot even begin to get our minds around how big and how vast the universe is. To God, the prophet, I believe Isaiah said, God spans the whole universe in his hand, the span of a hand. He flung the stars into existence. It is more accurate than saying that God is in the universe. It's far more accurate to say the universe is in God. And so when God is so big, here's my point. He is so big that today is not big enough to contain him. He is so big that he spills over into tomorrow. It's not that he just sees tomorrow and knows tomorrow. It is that God is actually in tomorrow already. In God's eyes, then, he sees me. A million years from now, we'll all be in heaven, and he sees me perfect, complete, just like his son, Jesus Christ. So he sees the finished product. No wonder he can be patient with me today. I lose patience because all I can see is right here, right now. But God sees the end. He sees the finished product. Now here, I want you to try a little experiment. Close your eyes just for a moment. I want you to picture yourself perfect, just like Jesus. Can you see it? Okay, open your eyes. Did you see it? Did you see yourself perfect? I sure can't. Oh, you could close your eyes for a year and never quite see it. It's tough. I can't imagine me perfect. But God not only does, he says it's a fact. He says it's happened. It's accomplished. He speaks in the past tense as though it were already done, glorified. We on earth do not see our glorification, and yet God sees it having already been done. Now, if we were to carry this through in our natural reason, God having foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified, we might say that it is for some men impossible to be saved. And yet, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Let's read that out loud together. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. That means that salvation is available to all. The gospel is for all. And I want you to note this. God's predestination does not exclude anyone. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you'll find that God foreknew you, and he called you, predestined you, and that he already knew. It doesn't exclude anyone. In fact, nowhere in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation does it ever once say that God predestined anybody to go to hell. It only says that some have been predestined to go to heaven. You can't understand it. All you can do is believe it. You can't reconcile God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. But you don't have to try. The Bible just says, believe it. Don't reconcile it. You don't have to figure it out. It's too high for us. I believe that God has foreknown, chosen, called, justified, and glorified me. But I also believe this, and I want to read through these scriptures with you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Let's read that out loud. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there's human responsibility. I'm pressing toward the goal. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let's read that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. There's more human responsibility. In view of the mercy of God, I'm to offer my body as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 6, 13. Let's read that. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There's more responsibility. I need to yield my members as instruments of righteousness. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Let's read it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's very simple. If you live by the Spirit, you will live. If you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. If you do not, you will die. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Let's read that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If I'm not led by the Spirit, I'm not a son of God. So again, I believe that God has foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified me. But I also believe I must press toward the mark. I must present my body as a living sacrifice. I must yield my members as instruments of righteousness and put to death by the Spirit the works of the flesh. And I must walk and be led by the Spirit. And I believe them both. You say, how do you reconcile them? I don't. I believe them both and I accept them both. God has his part. And I have my part. And as I follow that, I will one day see my Lord face to face. I want you to imagine, use your imagination, turn on the cameras of your mind, and watch the mass and multitude of 7 billion people marching through life. They're all generally on a broad road. They're all doing whatever is right in their own eyes. But we remember Proverbs 14, verse 12, that says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Jesus said there is a broad road. Many are on that road, but that road leads to destruction. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there are that are upon it. It's kind of like life. Most people are on the broad road, partying along with life and their friends, selfishly, greedily, and doing their own thing, as they say. But as you get toward the end of your life, whatever that might be, there is a cliff called Dead Man's Cliff. And all of a sudden, right toward the end of that cliff, you hear yelling and screaming, and you're confused, and you don't know what's going on. And you get up to the edge. And the illustration goes that finally you realize, hey, there are people falling. And it doesn't sound like they're going to make it. Sounds pretty far. Hey, I want to turn around. But at some point, there's such a press of people, you find it almost impossible to get free. But all along the road of life, this broad road, everybody's laughing and partying and having a great time, on the side of the road are prophets and evangelists and preachers and teachers and even sometimes angels. And they're saying, come this way. It's a narrow path. But the road that you are on leads to destruction. It leads to a dead end. You will be unfulfilled. Everything that seems so promising today will be lost tomorrow. Turn aside and come here. And you look at this door, and above the door are written these words embossed in gold. Whosoever will may come in. And they're preaching and they're sharing, and it's like the various instruments in your life that brought you the message of the truth of Jesus Christ and of the gospel. But along the road, you are wondering, and many people don't even merely give it a passing glance. They go, hey, there's those nuts on the side of the road. Only a few people go over there. Who would want to do that? We're having a great time. They ignore them. But somehow you couldn't ignore them. You might have walked along with the crowd for a while, but you kept listening. You kept stopping. Something made you turn and listen. And even if you went pretty far down the road, at some point, you wrestled your way to the edge of the mass and the multitude, and you came up back the other way, and you listened, and you thought, and you considered, and you said, I don't understand. Explain it to me again. What will it cost me? And there the gospel is shared. There's a price to be paid. It's not easy, but it leads to beauty, it leads to purity, leads to holiness, leads to fulfillment, it leads to glory, it leads to a personal relationship with your Father in heaven. But it'll cost you everything. You'll have to turn over the control of your life, you'll have to yield your life, you'll have to carry your cross. It will be difficult, it will be challenging, but it will be worth it. So you listen. Some stand there for a long while thinking, weighing, should I, shouldn't I? Some actually go back to the mass multitude and join the crowd. Some go back to the mass and then go, nah, I'm going to go back. Finally, you stand before that gate. You've thought about it. Finally, you bow your head. You say a prayer. You take a deep breath. And you go, well, for better or for worse, I'm going to walk through that door. The day came when you made a personal decision based upon hearing the goodness of God and the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You walked through the door upon which it is written, whosoever will may come in. Once you're inside, you see, wow, if only they out there knew what was in here, there'd be more people coming. And you see family and friends and all of the saints and the angels of God. And there is a clarity to the air, a freshness to life. There is an invigoration of heart and soul and a feast and a party that is going on and all kinds of interesting angels. One of them walks over and wraps his big angelic wing around your shoulder and he says, hey, come here. And you go, wow. And you're just amazed that an angel has put his wing around your shoulder. He says, turn around. He goes, look what's on the inside of the door you just walked through. So you stand there and you look up at this gigantic wall, and above on the inside are written these words, you did not choose me, but I chose you before the foundations of the earth were laid. You say, wait a second, what do you mean you chose me? I chose you just a minute ago. I was on the outside, now I'm on the inside, and I almost thought about not even coming. He says, yes, but God knew the choice that you would make. And he chose you before you chose him. He says, come here, I want to show you something. You walk over and here's this beautiful book. You say, what's that? And it says on the cover, the book of life. He opens the book of life through millions and millions of names. They're all written in red, like the lifeblood of Jesus. You come to your name and there is your name written. You go, you're kidding. My name's already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When was my name written? And he says, before the foundations of the earth were laid. God saw you. God foreknew you. God predestined you. He called you. He justified you. He glorified you. And now here you are. It is the great secret for those who are in the family to know, before you chose him, he chose you. And he's got a glorious plan for the rest of your eternal life.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with some great insight about God's plan of salvation and how he knew which path you'd choose from the very beginning. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study here on Maranatha Radio, get in touch and ask for Beloved of God. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Mention the title, Beloved of God. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Romans on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Romans. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.